thank you very much indeed, and can I just say to Brian tomorrow, congratulations to Ayuda on another wonderful event. Congratulations for 29 years of building relationship between the United States and Ireland, which continues to go from strength to strength. I'm delighted to accept this award on behalf of everybody in the hospitality industry. I started in Tourism Ireland 1 month after 9/11 as head of corporate services and took the CEO post in 2009. June 2009, this was the global financial crisis that really hit me with and having a colossal impact on our industry. It's fair to say that we weathered our fair share of storms, and I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the state of the industry globally and back at home. Last year, 1.2 billion people took trips around the globe, spending $1.5 trillion. 10% of global GDP is accounted for by the hospitality business, and one in every 10 people in the globe is employed in tourism. And the picture actually isn't much different in Ireland. In Ireland, one in every 10 jobs is in hospitality. And across the island of Ireland today, there are 283,000 people employed in our industry, north, south, east, and west. We've seen a record year last year, 10.3 million visitors to the island of Ireland, spending $6 billion. Not bad for an island of a population of just over 6 million. And numbers from this market were up 18% so far this year alone. So it's fantastic. Great to see. Now, of course, hospitality isn't something that's new. Ireland has a long, long established tradition. One of the oldest books that I have in our office is written by William Wilson. It's a 1783 post-shave travel companion to Ireland. It's a tour of the whole of the island of Ireland. And in Dublin, we're talking about famous landmarks like Trinity College, St. Patrick's Cathedral, White Church, and mentioned two new squares that were being made out at the time, Lincoln and Claude, Fitzwilliam and Marion, forerunner for famous historian in Dublin. Thomas Cook started excursions from Britain to Ireland in 1849. The Wild Atlantic Way was around a long, long time, only out in the marketplace for the last number of years, but in 1865, the London Times reported that there's nothing on these islands more beautiful than the south and west of Ireland. They were the most fairest portions of Europe, still find in Ireland, that which they have seen nowhere else, and which has charmed all of them. It was 1865. And in the early 1900s, American journalists have been encouraging the fledgling Irish tourism industry to push the boundary, because the average tourist was spending between £50 on each visit. So with the advent of international airline travel in the 1950s, the Irish government set up the Irish Tourist Board, Fort Baltic, and the Stormont administration set up the Northern Ireland Tourist Board to develop the tourism industry and to market Ireland and Northern Ireland abroad. And 40 years later, the Good Friday Agreement was signed, and the Irish government and Northern Ireland set up Tourism Ireland to carry on as one company the job that was carried on by two previously, to market the island of Ireland together as a single destination for the descendants of all Ireland. And we've seen an amazing renaissance over that period. The Northern Ireland government and the Irish government have worked hard to place tourism at the heart of the economic agenda, and the figures are very clear to see in terms of success. For example, in the last 6 years, there's been an increase in tourism to Ireland of 62%. There's been an increase in spend by tourism of 56%. The World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, now ranks Ireland actually moved up from 5th actually last year to 3rd, which is terrific, as a 140 country, in terms of tourism marketing effectiveness. And this has been achieved in the spirit of collaboration and partnership on both parts of this island. And I always said it's much better to have a team that includes Rory McIlroy and Corey Harrington on the same team, obviously. And in that spirit as well, I can only hope that in the middle of November, that our all-island rugby team are going to be hosting the Rugby World Cup, by the way, in 2023. But in that context of collaboration and partnership, I'm delighted that this evening some friends of mine have come along. Norman Houston, who runs the Northern Ireland Bureau in Washington, D.C., and Andrea Hollian, who runs West Northern Ireland here in New York, are here as part of our team this evening, terrific. And I want to congratulate them on the great work that they do. It's great to see that in the last number of years, the Northern Ireland administration has put a lot of money into Tourism Ireland, but tourism spending since the formation of Tourism Ireland in Northern Ireland is over $2 billion. New attractions like Titanic Airbus go from strength to strength, and old ones like the UNESCO World Heritage Site and the Giant's Hallway have seen record numbers in 2017. It's really encouraging to see now that there are 2,000 bedrooms in over 15 hotels currently being constructed that will be open by the end of 2018 in Belfast alone. I also want to acknowledge the role of the media and really positive stories that they tell about Ireland over here in the United States. For example, the National Geographic, Ireland is the most searched for destination out of all countries in the globe, and it was amazing to think that Donegal was the top of the crew list for National Geographic in 2017. I also want to thank the diaspora media here who play a really important role in getting the message about Ireland across, and the joy of the aging family and all the sharing at my table tonight, and all the other people in the media here, but thank you for all the great work that you've done over the years, and for holding the Ireland for being here. Now, you in the diaspora play a huge role for us as well, and nowhere is that feeling greater than during the gathering in 2013. It came at a very difficult call at time for Ireland, and it was great to see people rally around the message to bring to the home of Ireland, and it really did, you know, provide a major kickstart for some of the success that we've seen over the last number of years. Organisations like the Ireland Fund and many county community organisations have played an enormous role in keeping the bonds alive between the two countries, and that's played a major story in the tour of success. And I'd like to acknowledge my old friend Kieran McLaughlin and his wife Sarah here this morning for the great work that they've done in keeping the Irish message going here in the United States. So well done, Kieran and Sarah. The Tourism Ireland team do an amazing job around the globe. I have the privilege and honour to do the job that I do. And I'm delighted that we're joined here this evening by our leader here in North America, Alison Metcalf, and our husband Brian. Under Alison's leadership here, we've seen Ireland and the USA now become the most popular country on Facebook. We see annually positive publicity, which will cost $100 million to buy every year if we gain the traditional and social media channels here. And the United States figures to Ireland, by the way, have increased by 84% over the last 6 years. It's a truly phenomenal figure. We're at the point now where 1.4 million tourists are paying in the United States to Ireland. So well done, Alison. It's a great job. Finally, it would be impossible for me to do my job without the great support I receive at home, and I spend most of my time abroad. For it's a great trip that my family has been able to join me this evening, a rare occasion that we're able to spend time here. And we just ask this lady to turn around and applause for the great job. Especially this is when we go out there. We won't sing right now, we might do that later on. But after hearing so many of my stories, I'm sorry, I won't be sending that house in the car, I'll put some notes about it. But look, colleagues, this is a really exciting time for the tourism and hospitality sector. And as I said earlier on, I started in Tourism Ireland, a month after 9/11. And we've come through many, many storms. And there are many more ahead. And we've seen the decision by the Britain to use European Union to give life features that are further in, or geopolitical risk happening all the time. But I really believe that the bonds will underpin our two countries, and our tradition of hospitality is one of the greatest stories. And George Bernard Shaw wrote a great quote 110 years ago that is relevant today as it was then in the early 1900s. And he said, "When I come here in the evening to meditate in my madness, to watch the shadow of the round tower lengthening in the sunset, to break my heart and grind a soul on the island of fame, you will comfort me with the bustle of a great hotel and the sight of the children carrying the golf balls of your food and the preparation for the life to come." So thank you, Susan, and congratulations to you.
Now, we've just heard the honoree of the evening, the medalist, our good friend, Niall Gibbons, head of tourism worldwide, CEO Tourism Ireland. And Niall, lovely evening, and congratulations.
Yes. Thanks very much, Adrian. Yeah, it's an honour and a privilege to be here, and really delighted to get this award tonight, accepting it on behalf of everybody in the hospitality industry. Yes. We've seen an amazing few years. Great to see the numbers so strong, and as you know, I've been coming on this show for many years now, and everything going from strength to strength. So yes, it's a great honour to receive an award.
We always purr a little bit when we look at the North American figures, and there's only one direction that they have gone in, and that looks like it's going to continue. There are other concerns, though, and of course, many here would wonder, with the uncertainty of Brexit, what that might bring, and how might that affect tourism? Is there an upside or a downside, or is it too soon?
It's probably too soon to say. I mean, in relation to Brexit, we're tied very closely into discussions with the Irish government and the Northern Ireland administration. And, I mean, there are obviously discussions going on now in relation to migrants' rights, the exit bill, and Northern Ireland before any future trade talks take place. But what we have seen is a currency change over the last while. The sterling has depreciated, which makes the Eurozone more expensive for British customers. And we have seen a downturn in British business this year to the tune of about 7%. Fortunately, that's been more than compensated for by an exceptionally strong performance from here in North America, up 18% already this year. Our long-haul markets like Asia, Australia, up also about 18%. Mainland Europe showing solid growth as well. What's more important on the spend side of things, spend is up 7% for the first half of the year. And holiday spend, a lot of people are coming on real holidays, up 12%. But that being said, I mean, it's going to be choppy waters maybe for the next 18 months. We don't know what the future of the Brexit talks will hold. That will impact on currency, and that's the immediate threat for 2018. Mm-hmm. Here in North America, currencies ebb and flow. I mean, we've seen Ireland being great value for American customers. We've seen the currency move by about sort of 15% over the last while. But still, I think the allure of Ireland is particularly strong here. Some really good marketing. We've seen new entrants like Norwegian now come onto the scene. We've seen Aer Lingus open a new gateway in Philadelphia, just announced for 2018. So we expect to see an expansion of air capacity in the United States market next year. And Canada will see some very strong capacity increases too. So the pipeline looks very positive from this market. And what all that will mean is that it's likely that North America will become the second most important market after Europe, but ahead of Great Britain during the course of 2017 and 18.
That's fantastic. Food, Ireland, it would appear that never-increasing recognition and increase throughout the world of the value of food, well, first of all, the food itself, we've come a long way.
We certainly have, and it's something that we carry out in exit surveys, and it's something that people come in with fairly lower expectations than we would think, because they don't expect to get a great food experience, but they go away mesmerised. I think the standard and quality of food is excellent in Ireland, and I think what's really interesting now is that there's a new generation of chefs coming through that are doing a great job, and I think it's all about not just the food that gets served on your plate, but it's about the ingredients where they're from. Particularly, it's the local story associated with that that makes it very special. And there are great organisations involved, at local level, at the artisan stage, like the Taste Council of Ireland, Bord Bia doing a super job marketing Irish food internationally. Yeah. And I think, just Ireland being a green, clean island helps as well. Great for our image, and it's having a big impact on tourism.
And now the shoulder seasons, which for many years kind of disappeared because with the expansion of the summer season would always kind of take care of itself, but then Ireland became a year-round destination. How do we identify shoulder seasons now, or are they there?
It depends on what part of the country you're in. I mean, Dublin is certainly now an all-year-round destination, and we've seen with the new air access coming in the winter season, we've seen customers in the United States and Canada we've never seen before. Certainly when you get into rural Ireland, it's a trickier proposition, obviously. A lot of business is seasonal. Cafes and restaurants are sometimes shut down in mid-September. Our colleagues in Bulge, Ireland, who are responsible for industry development at home, mind you, have been working with the industry to try and encourage them to stay open longer. And that's something that's worked in certain rural communities, and people are seeing the benefit of it. And it means that for tourists coming into Ireland now, that in many rural towns and villages across Ireland, there is a longer season than there was 3-4 years ago.
Now, again, congratulations and a great speech tonight, and a great honour. And that's a heavy medal you're bringing back with you.
Well, it's a great honour and a privilege to get it. But it's a tribute to everybody who's worked really hard I started this role as CEO in 2009 when the graph was heading in a downward trajectory in a very, very tough couple of years. So it's great to be able to celebrate this with everybody and recognize the success that's seen this market here in the United States grow by over 80% in the last 6 years alone.
And again, rightly so, you acknowledge indeed the great work of Alison Metcalf.
Yeah, runs it all. A super job here, a great team. It was great to see the work at first hand today when I was in the office. Some great examples in Saxon Fifth Avenue, if you have a chance over the next week to see the window display. Some other great things for the Travel Classic Writers Conference in Ireland this year as well. And I think some very exciting things happening down the track for 2018 too.
Fabulous.